Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
I just love that commercial. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I own Star Psychics. I have with me tonight the lovely Maya Moon, as usual, on Monday. And she's my only host that I have. Anyways, tonight is a continuation of last week. Is it just my imagination a dream, or could be real? Last week I told of the huge crystal that came to me during the night. And tonight we're going to discuss other things that I've seen, probably Maya Moon has seen, and hopefully somebody will call in to share something. That would be nice, too. And if you would like to call in, the number is 347-838-9736. And let's get started. So, Maya Moon, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here as always, and welcome to everyone. And, yeah, it's a very exciting topic, and I really feel that a lot of people often have experiences, but, you know, some of them are, like the one that you shared last week, they're very profound and very real and, you know, kind of extended, and they have a lot of different influences, you know, colors, or we touch them or we smell, but I think there's a lot of us out there, too, that have bleeding experiences that can be just as significant. They just can happen so fast that sometimes sometimes we choose to believe, but then sometimes we start to doubt and say, did that really happen? You know, did I really feel that presence? Or, you know, did that, whatever the situation may be, you know, a lot of times people asking for a sign of something and they receive it, but then they doubt it. So a lot is, I think, what we choose to believe. And probably everyone has had some type of experience, even if they didn't realize maybe at the time. You know, don't you think that probably most of us have had something happen?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes you question, well, you know, did I really sense that something going by me, brushing my face? I've never had that happen to me. But I think there's a lot of times when you discount them and say, oh, that wasn't real. That really didn't happen. But if you really look at it and you choose to believe, and you kind of, sometimes people really have to tear it apart and say, well, it could have been this, it could have been that. Well, yeah, it could have been, but what was it really? What do you feel that it was? So a lot of it is what you feel that it is, and I'm of the mind that I feel that in most instances it's real, that you're being given a sign. Sometimes you can ask for a sign and you never get it. That doesn't mean that nobody's listening up there, you know? Sometimes things take longer than what we think. But sometimes, like these little signs, you know, like my husband passed away, and I was thinking of this, too, when you were talking, Maya. You know, I get a phone ring one time, periodically, not all the time, but my phone isn't ringing. It's the point where just before you wake up, you're aware you're waking up, but you're not really awake. And many times over the past 4 years, I've gotten one phone ring, sometimes two, and sometimes they're very loud. I'll get one ring that's really loud, and it's made me wake up, and I go to answer the phone, and I have callback on my phone so I can find out, you know, who has called if I missed a call. Nobody called. I feel it was my husband. And sometimes I get them I'll get the one ring, like if I had a really tough day, really emotionally tough day, and then I'll get it like that next morning, kind of like to let me know that he's near. So I do believe in that, and I don't know if you want me to continue on, Maya, with some of my things that have happened.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Oh, yes. Well, my son and I and my husband, my late husband, were in our car. We were going to my granddaughter's soccer game. We made a left. No, we were supposed to make a left. We were coming down the road, and it was a red light. Well, we stopped, of course, and a red car was at the light making a left. So they were coming in. He was coming in front of us. Well, something happened at that moment because he was coming right for us. Something happened with him. He made the turn too sharp, but he was turning into us. And I'm in the back seat behind my son and my husband, and my son is driving. I really didn't get to see a lot of it, but my son did. And anyways, the man was okay. My son and I got out, and my son said to me, "Mom," he said, "did you see that?" And I said, "Well, did I see what?" "I saw glass on top of the car close to our windshield. That meant that that man, I don't know if he didn't hit us, but something happened. A lot of glass all over the top of the car. I saw that part, but then when we got out to see, my son and I got out to see if the man was okay, my son pulled me over and he said, "Mom," he said, "that man should have hit us." And I said, "Well, you know, I didn't really see the exact thing." And he said, "Mom, the wheel jumped. The car jumped out of the way. It did." And now my son is not, he's very, he's spiritual, but he's nothing like I am. Not at all. I mean, he questions everything.
Yeah,
I don't question anything.
He's very pragmatic.
And for him to say that, he said something turned the wheel further than it could have been turned to pull us out of the way. All I saw was I could see the flash of the red. The car was red. And then we looked and I saw all the glass when I was in the car. I saw all the glass. But I didn't see that happen. But my son did see, because he was driving. That man would have really probably hurt my son more than anything, because he was turning right into my son. I mean, you know, and even the driver, he said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, you know, we said, well, you made a turn." He says, "Yeah, I made a turn, and she was coming through the light, and I shouldn't have turned." But he felt kind of something strange happened. He said, "I don't know how I missed you." My son and I are looking at each other because we're off to the side because the firemen are coming in. And we know all the firemen in the area anyways because of the pretzel store my son had, you know. And my son looks at me and he says, "Oh, yeah, something happened, all right." He says, "I guess it's one of your," he said, "Mom, was it a miracle?" I said, "Well, you can call things a miracle, but sometimes it's just divine intervention. It would be like a child being ill and all of a sudden they're well. They sit up. Nothing happened. Nothing changed for them. They were seriously ill." Now, to me, that I don't know if that would be a miracle. I don't really know, but I do know divine intervention played an important part at that time. We weren't shaken up at all. We were fine. Yeah, I mean, it was like, "Oh, okay, well," we turned in the ditch to be with the guy and wait for, my son called his wife, and we waited for everybody to come, and we brushed off this glass. Pieces of glass must have come from his headlights, I'm thinking. The front lights. But that would have meant he would have hit us. How did the glass get on the top of the car? And it was inside the grill. My son and I talked about it a lot, and we still kind of talk about it when he kind of gets discouraged about, about things going on and why this happens and why that happened. And I'll remind him, "Remember when we were in that car?" He said, I'm telling you, Mom, a big angel must have done it. He must have been huge, because it just pulled us right out of the way. There was no way my son could have made that turn. It was so quick and so sharp. So I believed it right away. You know, I mean, I didn't know until he said something, but I thought it kind of strange because we had all the glass on the top, and I caught a flash of red, but that's all I got because I was right behind my son sitting. So I missed that part of it, but my son has never forgotten that, and neither have I. I think things like that that happen, you know, we had a sad thing happen this past weekend, and this little girl was in an accident. My son questions this a lot. She was 14, and it was a bad accident. You know, her mother and her one sister are in the hospital. She's a twin, but the twin was other twin was at home. But anyways, my son is just so angry about that. He said, why? What was she? What is she needed for up in heaven? She's only 14. And, of course, my little granddaughter is 11, and she knew the little girl. And it's just a sad thing like that. And, you know, I was just talking to him, and I said, you know, Louis, I believe that, you know, you're here to do certain things, and it's almost like your name is on a page. And if that page has your name on it and it turns, it's your time. You've done all of your work. But you see, when you talk about something a little kid like that, that's, you know, and I have to always remind him, and I reminded him today of that car that almost hit us. I mean, I don't know what it would have done to me. My husband maybe would have been okay, but I was right behind my son. Something reared that car away, and I like to think it was just this big archangel that came down and said, nope, not time. Nope, not going to happen. And it was very pronounced, and there was no doubts because, you know, you can turn a wheel so far, but then you can't turn it anymore. This pushed us right out of the way. It was like a pull. It was like somebody was on the other side of the car and just lifted it up and threw it out of the way at that moment in time. I will never forget that. And I think that there's nothing to doubt about it. But something like that, you know, you could say, well, oh, you know, your son must have done something. No. I believe that happened, and I know it happened, and I was there to witness it. So, you know, I've had other little things happen to me. One time we were on a trip. My parents died. I know I spoke of this before, less than 5 months apart of each other. And the next summer we went south because we were from Michigan. And my son walked into the room that we were staying in, and he said, Mom, come in here. And I'm thinking, oh, now what, right? Yes. What's wrong? The room must be really bad. He said, no, come here. And he said, smell that? So I, you know, with my nose, here it was the smell of my mother's perfume. She always wore Taboo. And it was in the bathroom. That scent was in the bathroom. Now, it could be that the lady who was cleaning the room wore it, but not to my son. I have to remind him of that one, too. Not to my son. That was his grandma, that she was there on our trip. So little things like that. And sometimes people, I think, too, Maya, don't even recognize things unless it's really major, like this car thing that we were, accident that we were almost in. I think sometimes it has to be an almost, or something really, really dramatic happens that really shakes you up. And then you realize that it's real. But it doesn't have to be. It could be some little small thing, like a phone ringing like I get, or even the scent of my mom. And I'm sure things have happened to you, Maya, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or you've experienced them. I seem to have really strong things that happen, like, you know, big major to-dos. I don't really want to have another major to do in a while, to tell you the truth, because sometimes, you know, you wonder, you know, how we walk a fine line. We really do. And I think about the little girl, you know, that's sad. That is just really sad to me. So why don't you give us some insight here, Maya, on what you've experienced and your take on what I just said?
Yeah, well, no, I do. I mean, it sounds like definitely I would say that was divine intervention. And I know from talking to you that your son, I mean, it's just, he is very, what I would call, pragmatic and a realist. He's not a naysayer. He's not one of these that, oh, I don't believe in any of that hogwash. he's open-minded, but, you know, people can be open-minded, and then there's those people that just refuse to believe that there's any possibility for anything other than just what's real, what can be proven. And then there's the people, too, on the other side that, you know, everything is a sign or a symbol. If they're thinking of someone and they see the car they drive, that's a sign to go stalk them.
Yeah.
So we need to find ourselves somewhere in the middle. And I do believe
right. It's
the choice of what we believe. And I've had, you know, I mean, I had an experience that I'm going to share that was very riveting and profound for me. And when I say this, obviously I'm in the spirituality religion. So obviously, you know, or not religion, but I mean just in the profession is what I really meant to say. So obviously I tend to be a believer. But really in my everyday life, I'm a realist. I'm very open to situations, but for example, if my son, he's 19 and a half now, but, you know, every time my son or grandson would say, oh, we saw a UFO or we saw a ghost, I wouldn't say, oh, let's get out the candles and stage the house. I mean, I'm not at all like that. I believe in mysticism. I believe in God. That's what I recognize to be my higher power and divine and so on and so forth. So I will say this too, that I'm able, and I just see it as a gift, and I don't really question it anymore, and I don't see it as a gift meaning, oh, my stuff's better than your stuff. It's just something that I feel that I've been given, like some people can sing or paint or whatever. So I'm a medium, and what that means is that I can connect with people that have crossed over. Now, that's not, I know we see these TV shows and, you know, I mean, we have to keep in mind that we're seeing the cut and edited version. I can tell you it as a true medium, it's not always that easy to connect, and there's just a variety of things. So I want to set the stage why I feel this is so significant. And I do medium readings, and generally my rule is that I need to receive at least two validations from the spirit and I know that, Natalie, you and I have spoken about this, and so you can concur that I have received validation of things that I would have no way of knowing. And I'm not talking about general, you know, something that would apply to anyone. Well, they have a hard time breathing. Well, anyone that's passed away has had a hard time breathing.
Correct.
So, you know, I usually receive some specific, it could be a very trivial detail. So I want to preface this story with just saying that I am a medium, and I do accept that, but I don't consider it easy. I don't take it for granted, and I never look at it as it's always a challenge. And just like I feel like a singer, and I've read people, so many actors and especially entertainers and singers go on stage, and people will interview them and say, do you feel scared, nervous? And they said, oh, absolutely, every time. I wonder, what if I can't sing? So I want to give a little bit of background on where I'm coming from with this, that it's not, and maybe there's people out there that do it differently, and I think that's amazing and wonderful. But for me, I don't just suddenly get names and dates and 50 things. There's a show in particular, and I happen to really adore the gal that does the reality show, but I know that it doesn't probably happen every time is easy with all the details that she gets. So they probably are cutting a lot of where we're off, plus we're relying on messages. So what may come across to me as being a color or a flower
or scent may actually be something different. Okay, so enough of all that babbling, but I just wanted to be very humble about this because it was a humbling experience. Sorry, I had to take a drink. The allergies were all here in Arkansas suffering so badly with allergies. Okay, so I've been getting my, I enjoy getting my nails done, and I've been going to this shop now for, well, I haven't kept up with them regular, but when I'm doing them, about a year now. And this was about 2 weeks ago, I guess. And I don't take a lot of time off. I'm signed in a lot, but something just kept telling me I had run some other errands, might have been a doctor's appointment, I'm not sure. But something had kept telling me I just felt really compelled to go in there. So I did, and the gal that had done my nails the last time was not there, and the gal who normally will do them, she was there, but she wasn't working. She had just gotten back that day on vacation. So I got a new person. Now, there, and I'm not trying, I'm just trying to give background, so I'm not in any way trying to come across as racial or biased, but it's important to the story for me to explain. So the majority of people there speak extremely good English, and in fact, many of them are Caucasian, but the gal that happened to be doing my nails that day was Asian. Now, when I say Asian, I'm generalizing. I don't know if she was Vietnamese, Cantonese, I mean, Japanese, Chinese. I have no idea. What I just know that she was Asian, and she was fairly easy to understand. And now she's touching my hands, and for me that is I pick up energy very easily, so I don't necessarily dislike being touched, but again, and I just was, I all I can try to say to you is that I was just filled, I mean, just slammed. I knew that I had been brought here, and when I looked in her eyes, I knew that I needed to say something, and I kept feeling this very strong male presence of someone that had passed. Now, oftentimes a uncle or a father-in-law can come across as a father figure, but I felt pretty confident this was a father. So there was just something in her eyes, and I started kind of broaching the subject about what I do, and then finally I just came out with it. And I said, I'm not sure if you understand the word psychic, but I'm an intuitive. And she said yes, and she seemed to understand. And I said, I feel a spirit, but this is good. This is not bad. I don't want to frighten you. Do you understand? And she said, oh, yes, yes. And I said, you have someone, because I got the image of him. And by image, I mean more like of a shadow, not really. I didn't see like a full-bodied apparition standing behind her. And I said, did you recently lose a strong male figure in your life like your father? And she just gasped. And she said, yes, my father. And she started to get upset. And I said, please don't get upset if you don't want me to continue. And she said, no, no, no. So as she explained to me, her English was a little bit, we were able to communicate, but we both had to struggle a little bit because the words that we use are, you know, different. So as I went into this, I knew that I was being compelled for some reason, that it was very heavy on her heart, and for some reason that particular day was extremely significant. And I tried my best to relay that information. And she needed a break. And I said, it's okay. My nails can wait. We're okay. But I don't want to upset you. And she said, no, I want to hear. Please, please, please tell me. So she said, can I bring I believe it was like a sister or cousin over. And this person spoke, as far as I could tell, no English whatsoever, because the gal that was doing my nails was translating. Okay, so I said, today is a significant day, and today's been a difficult day. And I said, and I keep feeling four is important. And she, you know, again, there was a lot of, oh, my goodness. And she would say it to this cousin or sister, and she put her hand on her mouth and went, oh, you know, how does she, you know, basically from the tone, how can she know? And so she was trying to explain. And again, I said, I don't want to cause you pain or distress. And they kept telling me, please, please, please tell us. So from what I gathered, it had been 4 months that day that her father had passed. And so I went on and picked up a few other details. And they were quite overwhelmed. They were definitely believers, but not what I would call seekers. They didn't mention anything to me, and I didn't get the impression that they had, you know, had sought a medium or believed in that. And I kept assuring them and talking about God, which they did also. And so none of that is all that impressive, but what I came to realize afterwards, first of all, I want everyone to know that I do not speak, read, or write anything other than English. I can say a few words in Spanish, but they're very few, and I can recognize, like, I don't even know. I'm probably going to just slaughter the word by, like, dangerous peligro. Basics. But as far as any other type of Asian language, German, Russian, I know absolutely nothing. So I don't speak any of these languages. And the girl was trying to explain to me, and her name was like Malia is, I believe, how she pronounced her name. So what she was sharing with me, they were all talking. By this time, there was three or four ladies of varying ages surrounding me, and they were all, you know, encouraging me, please tell me. And the girl was sobbing, but it was not a sad sob. It was a just overwhelming sob. And luckily, there was not another client in that place. I was the only one. So I continued, and I kept being shown these three, what to me looked like symbols, and I had no clue what these meant. And I began to understand that this daughter, and I said, you're like the favorite, maybe the oldest. Yes, yes, yes. She was very close to him. So that's the direction we were going. But what was really... it just really blew me away, to be quite honest with you. As I told her, I said, your father is trying to give me a message, and I don't understand, but I think I could write it. Do you have something I could write on? Said, yes. And I wrote out these three symbols. To me, again, they were symbols. They were not familiar to me at all. I thought they might be something in language, but to be honest, I wasn't even really sure about that. And I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop when I drew. And I said, what does this mean to you? And I said, what does this mean anything? Is this a symbol? And, I mean, the girl Malia could barely talk. And they all were, I mean, first there was just dead silence. Then they were all talking, they were crying, they were hugging me. And basically the way they translated it to me, and I don't know if they were making it longer or adding to it so that I would understand how meaningful it was, but it meant in their language, and I didn't ask what specific that was. Again, it was Asian. I am here with you. I'm here right now. This is really, it's really me, meaning it was really him. And I said, okay, so that's why. And the girl had said, I wanted to believe, I've been so afraid that he was not in heaven. And because I don't understand, I'm a Christian, but I became a Christian much later in life. And I didn't understand, not that we have to be religious to, you know, believe the story. We don't. But this was her story, so I'm telling it her way. And she said that she was concerned about where he was in the afterlife or if he knew, if he could see them. And so I proceeded then to me what would be a more average or normal conducting a medium session, which normally I don't get things that are that powerful. I just want everyone to know. So, and I continued to share information. Like I said, he wants to say to the little one, happy birthday. And her child's birthday was in 2 weeks. So things like that came up. And she didn't want to take money. And she had everyone, people in the back come up. And again, I couldn't understand them. So she translated. And they all just were hugging me, saying thank you. And then the original girl, her name is Mimi, that was not working, came up. Now, she speaks very, very good English. So she came up to me and said, I know you probably don't understand everything that's going on, but she said Malia has very, very depressed. And the death of her father has hit her more so even than his wife and the others. And today she had a really rough day, and she kept saying, if only I got a sign, if only I knew he was okay, if only I've been praying all morning, please, God, please show me that he's okay. That's all I care about, and that's my story.
And that's what you did. You showed her a sign. Exactly.
And I feel
all divine. All divine intervention. You went in there. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, and I get this wonderful feeling that, and, you know, people can really suffer when they're not sure of where their loved one, if they're okay, did they go to heaven, you know. It can be a real devastating thing, and I'm sure that you just made it all better for her and the rest of them. I mean,
it wasn't, you know, I felt that I was just being used as an instrument. So I'm not trying to take any credit, which is why I wanted to say that something like this, even there's many talented spiritual people out there that can do all types of amazing healing and can, you know, connect with those that have crossed over. But this particular incident was divine leading me, and for me to get that, I've never gotten any kind of writing like that in another language that I just absolutely, and I'm such a terrible, my handwriting is just illegible, and my drawing, my people are stick people. So for me to even be able to, my hand was guided, and I believe that I was meant to go there, that I was meant to go there at that time, and I had considered coming home because it had been a long day, and, you know, I have to check my emails with clients and so on, and so I know that it was almost, I almost didn't go, but I was forced, not forced, but I was just so led. I just felt like
you were
just go. You just need to go. And you know, you're in that situation too. I'm concerned because everything that I would do would be only to help. I would never want to distress someone. And when there's a language barrier, it can be a little more difficult because I wasn't sure how to make sure that this is what she wanted. But it was Mimi who was the gal who had just got back, which I thought was very interesting as well. She's the my more or less my nail person that I go to. And then I have other ones, you know how it is, that she still is. But Mimi is the one that I'll say is Mimi there, okay, be in, whatever. And Mimi is the one that she said to, she said, I just got back from vacation. I don't need to be here. I'm not even working. But she said, something just said you need to go stop and work. And she said, I feel that it was to help you to understand that what you gave to Malia and to, I couldn't even tell you. Now, the wife was not there, but she did ask me if I would speak to her mother, which is her father's wife. And I said, yes, but she needs some time, and I guess she's coming to the U.S. to visit in a few weeks. But, yes, I was that was divine, and that was one of those experiences that I could say, aside from I could say, oh, well, you got lucky, or somebody could say, oh, everyone's seen that Asian and Japanese, Chinese writing is symbols. Well, I guess if I sit and think about it, yeah, I've seen some, like I know Reiki, of course, is symbols, but I wasn't thinking of anything like that. I mean,
no.
I didn't plan this out. Plus, I had no way of knowing. That time I didn't call and ask if Mimi was there. I just decided I just need to get this done. And so that was another thing. So it was a profound and powerful, and it was a powerful experience for me because just like what you said, Natalie, about knowing that divine moved your car out of the way and most likely saved at least your son's life, if not your life as well, and maybe even, who's to say how serious
that
could have been.
There were no dents on the car either. He did not hit our car.
Wow.
It was that close. He just did not hit our car.
So
he just swerved in the ditch. And we swerved. But what you experience, it's all, and you can think of it like synchronicities, you know. There are no coincidences. No. Things happen just like they're supposed to. So you kept thinking about your nails, and I got to go in. Well, okay, divine intervention. She's got to be there. And we're tearing this apart. She's got to be there so she can relay to this young girl, woman, or however old she is, about her father, to lift her spirits and ease her, to let her know, ease her pain, if you will, to let her know that her father is sending a message through you. I think it's wonderful. And I think if you really think about, and I can think of other things too, like today, sometimes I have a problem. You know, I'm Maya knows me really well. I'm very, very spiritual, and I just believe so much that sometimes it hurts. And so I have moments where I'm not really emotionally feeling well. I mean, it's not anything anybody did to me. It's me. I mean, it's myself. Well, I had kind of a moment. I don't know if it was a half hour or whatever it was. And I went to get the mail, and I walked out, and I got in the mail this card from my husband's goddaughter, a note. It was a note. I opened it when I got inside. And she just, her name is Missy, and she's a twin, and she just said how much she thinks of me and always wonders how I am and that she loves me very much. Well, huh?
No.
You don't think that didn't make me feel? I mean, I was just lifted, right? Okay, I got it. I said out loud, okay, I got it. Got it.
Right, right.
You know, I got the message. Okay, stop what you're doing, Natalie, you know, because I do have a lot of people that love me, but love is a strange thing. You can be loved by all your friends, but sometimes there's something that you're missing. There's a part of you that is not complete. But when I read that, and then I thought back to all the times she would remember his birthday, Father's Day, Christmas, everything. She would always send him a note, and she's carried it on with me. She's continued
right
on. How sweet is that? and she has twins of her own and another little girl. I mean, it's just she's very, very busy and takes the time to remember to send me this note. Of course, I got a note from Christy, from my Maya Moon here, that was very special for me, of course. And I keep, believe it or not, I keep all the cards and things that I get, and they're sitting, I have a big snack bar. My son always says, I don't know, is this a shrine or what is this? I said, just don't touch them. They're all meaningful. Of course, my granddaughter is everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And he said, well, why don't you put them, so I have some in a basket after the time goes by and it's the next, you know, holiday or whatever. I put those that have been sitting out, I put them in the basket, and then I start to line up with the rest of them. I mean, he just thinks that I'm probably cuckoo. And I just say, humor me. These are all very important to me. Each and every one of them are very meaningful. Yours is there too, by the way, Maya. And all the other ones you've sent me. And, you know, I have other advisors, other stars that have sent me things, cards, you know. So little things like that. But that was certainly something for me today to kind of not slap me, but, oh, come on now. Look at this. Look what you got today. Just knock it off now.
Snap you out of your feeling of,
right, because I could have really dropped myself into the well.
And then
I'm talking out loud. If anybody would have heard me, well, who is she talking? Yeah, I got it. Okay, I got it. I said, you know, but if you look at things in your life that happen, really start to think about them. They're all synchronicities, every one of them. I didn't realize that, and I didn't learn about that until it was many years ago, but not when I was young, not when I was in my 20s or even my 30s. I did not understand that, and I don't think it was until I had my first sight that I realized. And now, of course, I look at everything. I sense everything. And I think that's what people need to do, is to realize, you know, listening to our show tonight, there's a reason that you're doing this. There's a reason for it. Even if you don't hear it as we're doing it, it's recorded. You can hear it after. And you know, I think everything I go to a lot of sites. I do a lot of things and learn a lot of things. And I just think it's just all part of things that I'm supposed to be doing. And it's all divine. To me, everything is divine. Everything. It doesn't miss a beat with me. So I'm very blessed, though. Like I've said before, I have like Maya that I can call, help.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully most of us, and
right.
I believe too that so many times, and I want to see what you think about this, but there's so many times that we don't see what could have been. We wake up late and we miss the 8 o'clock. Bust, just small little things. And we may not pay attention to the news, or we, you know, maybe the bus doesn't get in a crash, but maybe someone on the bus gets mugged. Someone, let's say you're a young female and you're taking the bus alone, and, you know, 2 months later, you see that bus, that route that you would have taken if you would have woke up on time, that young woman who got off walking by herself was abducted. And then sometimes we don't see the outcome because it's either so far removed from what happened, or it doesn't register in our memory. And, you know, not that that's an excuse to be late, but I do feel that divine intervenes. And I know that I've talked before, those of us, especially in the U.S., will always remember 9/11. And while there's a lot of horrific stories of tragedy and loss, you would be surprised.
The miracle. Yes.
I mean, those people... some of them, it's changed their entire lives because for some reason they were ill or they woke up late or they decided to switch schedules or work from home or they got a call, a friend needed some help. I mean, just millions of very, I mean, in the scheme of the world, minor little occurrences that prevented them for whatever reason for being in that building at that time. And only, of course, now that everyone knew that that or would think that that was divine because it was such a huge thing. There's so many times that, you know, we don't walk down that street. We decide to take a different direction. And we don't always know what could have transpired. But I believe that occurs a lot. I mean, what about you, Natalie? Do you feel that that's
definitely... yeah. Well, I always kind of think when you're talking about the things that have happened to me, and, you know, I always talk about going to lunch with my friends, my two girlfriends, and I was invited to go to Charleston, which is like an hour and a half away, with my one friend and her daughter to go pick up the granddaughter. And it was going to be an all-day thing. And, you know, the day before, she had called, and I thought, my first inclination was, well, maybe you should go. But you know what? I didn't go. And so when I made the decision not to go, because it was going to be a really long day, and I just thought it would be too much. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're in the mood for an all-day thing. They didn't get home until, like, 8 o'clock that night. And so when I made the decision not to go, my first thought was, there's a reason you decided not to go. Because normally you always hear me say, I go because they invite me. Not this time. I just chose not to go. And I don't really know what transpired. I can kind of figure out what probably would have transpired, because if I had gone, there's a gentleman that used to see my girlfriend's daughter, and I never liked him from the beginning. I just didn't like him. I didn't trust him, and I didn't like him. Well, they broke up, and they were probably going to be running into him, and maybe that was it. Maybe I just wasn't, because I probably would have had an encounter with him, and my friend said, well, maybe that's what he needs to hear. I said, yeah, but sometimes I can have a big mouth. You know, I said, you're going to have to defend me. But it probably would have happened, and then I would have upset the daughter, her daughter, you know, my friend's daughter, and her. Wouldn't it have upset me? It probably would have made me feel good to tell him off, because, you know, he's just a loser, you know.
Right.
And I don't really know if that's the reason why I didn't go, but I thought about it after. You know, I bet you would have run into him, because she was picking up the daughter. He had her for the weekend. How he would have run into him and gone in, and there you are. He would have said something, and you would have just flashed back with something else. Because I just don't like him. I don't trust him. And you know, you get that feeling. And most people I just love. I mean, there's very few. It's happened to me other times with my one girlfriend's daughter. She ended up getting engaged to this guy. And I met him, the first time I met him, and she said to me, well, what do you think? And I said, there's nothing behind his eyes. And she said, what do you mean? I said, there's nothing behind his eyes. Meaning, there's not too much going on there. He's just all about self and, you know. Well, she got engaged. I saw the ring on her finger before she got it, and I told her. I said, you're going to get engaged. Are you going to marry him? I said, no. And I knew my girlfriend did not want her to marry this man anyhow. Well, lo and behold, she ended up breaking up with this guy, and he was very violent. And my girlfriend said to me, this was the other girlfriend that I do things with. She said to me, you know, I'll never forget you saying that. There was nothing behind his eyes. I said, well, you know, I wish I could have told your daughter that, but it wouldn't have made any difference. But it worked out okay. So you get things like that, too. Sometimes you just, and I don't, and in the business that we're in, I don't even want to say it's a business. In our belief system, it's more like that. You rely upon that. And those things that you get, those thoughts that you get are real. Pay attention. Maybe you're not going to sound off about them. You're going to wait and see, well, is this person really? Now I don't even think about it. I mean, and I'm not usually opinionated. You know, Sagittarius, you know that because that's what you are. Maya. We will say only what others will think. I have two different kind of styles with myself. I mean, I can be authoritative, and then I can be just like this mush that you could just run over me. You know, I'm just a softy. But you see, in some instances, I have to speak up when and I was right about both of them. So I just felt, and I did feel bad that I didn't go to Charleston that day. Not that anything happened on the way up for them or the way back. It's just that I thought about it, and I thought, oh, I know why you didn't want to go, or you were told not to go, because you would have had a run-in with him, and it wouldn't have gone well. So I don't know. I think the more you trust yourself, the more you believe in what you believe, the more you're going to believe. I always say, the more you do, you do. And that's true. I mean, you know, you just have to kind of sit back and analyze it just a little bit. Okay, well, but you see, Maya, you and I have had things happen to us that have been totally divine intervention, totally.
Right.
And some people are not, maybe they've had some things happen and they just discounted them. Oh, that was just something similar, or that wasn't real. Or, you know, well, if you really stop to think about it, it is real, you know, and that's how I run my life. I don't say I run it, but you know what I'm saying. That's how I feel about things, and I believe everything is divine every single day. And sometimes if I have a bad day, I'll say, well, I'm talking to God when I do this. Well, I know tomorrow's a new day, right? And tomorrow's a new day, you know. And, I get ideas like, yeah, I have another friend online. She says, why don't you call me when you feel really crummy? Well, I don't really do that. I like to sit and mull over it and just let it work itself out. And then I'll get a message like from my webmaster. I want you to do this. Oh, good. Then I'm back to doing all my stuff on the computer. And everybody knows I just love the computer. All my monitors and all of that. And then I'm within my own little world, and I surround myself with monitors. And they can't hurt you at all. Well, they can cause you trouble, like Firefox. I'm going to uninstall it again. I'm really desperate with it. It's making me really mad. But I think you should look at everything that it is divine. And
yes,
then you'll see more of how wonderful and beautiful your life really is. And I went to see my cardiologist last week. And, you know, I hadn't seen him in a year. And he knew about my husband passing away 4 years ago. And, you know, you should improve a little bit. Well, I probably looked like death when I went in the first year after he passed away. I don't know. But he's sitting there, and my EKG was good. My blood pressure was low like it's supposed to and all of that. And he sat down in his chair, and he looked at me, and he looked at my age, and he said, I don't believe what I see here on this paper. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, your age is this, but you look like you're 50. And I said, oh, you're just being really nice. He said, no, I'm telling you the truth. He said, I know what people your age and older are like when they come in here. I see heart patients, the old patients, you know. And he asked me what I'm doing. And I said, well, I'm riding my bike a lot. Every other day or every second day I try. And I said, you know, I'm just eating really well, but I have always, ever since I got really, really sick back in 82, I've always watched things that I eat and stuff. But so I walked out of there, and I thought to myself, because I was not feeling very pretty, because I don't get compliments, okay? And being a woman, you like to know that you look nice, you know, sometimes. But by him saying that to me that day, I thought to myself, wow, he hasn't seen you in a year. And he thinks that you're pretty hot. So I walked out of there feeling really good. And I thought that was divine. You see, I went to him to hear that and to make me kind of like God saying, okay, well, you stop this. How stupid. You know. And that's what that was about that day for me. And I didn't even have to go see him. And he said, well, you don't have to come back. I said, no, I had mitral valve prolapse. You know, it's a click, and I feel that I need you to see me every year to make sure the blood pressure is thoroughly checked and the EKG and all that other stuff, because I will feel better about it. And he said, okay, he said, come back in a year then. He said, I can't talk you out of it. I said, well, no, not when you're going to tell me I look good. And he was laughing. I made his day, you know, but he really made my day. So you see, if you look around and see and hear things, after you feel a certain way, something is going to pick you back up again. But you have to believe that it will happen to you. But you have to be just really believe in the divine or God, like you and I do, Maya. And you can believe in anything that you really want. It doesn't have to be God per se. You know, it can be, there's other religions that you can believe in and go with that. But there is, if you have a strong belief system, I don't think it's going to fail. I really don't. The only thing I'm having trouble with is my son now trying to tell him about this little girl, why her name was on this page and why she had to pass. Now, the other two are in critical condition. One's in a coma. And, I mean, it was a really bad accident, really bad. It was a hit and run, and then she went into a tree, and they had this vigil last night. And my son said there must have been 300 people there, and it was short notice, of course. It was all on Facebook. Everybody was telling everybody, passing it around. And it was very beautiful. But, you know, I asked him how my granddaughter was, you know, and I don't think it set in with her. I don't think they realize how things can really change. That's why sometimes when I talk to her, she's spiritual, but I'll talk to her and I'll say, you know, Jada, things can change really fast. And I said, so you see your mommy and your daddy and your gram? I said, you love them as much as you possibly can. She says, I know, because someday they won't be here. And I said, well, someday, yes. We're not saying now, but yes. And but I don't know if she's going to ask me about this little girl, and I really don't know what I'm going to tell her.
Well, I think that you tell her that our journey, this is our life here, is part of our journey, and that if we believe that the journey continues and that the afterlife is like whatever you imagine to be, you know, if you imagine rainbows and buckets of candy or waterfalls and country estates, whatever you imagine that would make you happy, and that it's the ones left behind. We're the ones that mourn and grieve for those that have continued their journey on. But actually, death and being spiritual, if we believe in spirituality and we just see glimpses of the divine and divine intervention and creator, source, universe, the amazing things that it can do reaching into the physical world, imagine being in that state of power or energy. So for those, I understand what your son is saying. It's not fair to the parents, to the friends, to the aunts, to the uncles, because they're missing her. But as far as for her, in some ways it could be seen as a gift because she is good or she is special. And, you know, we see these, I mean, if you look at the children, they say that and that's in no way to make light of the suffering, again, that those of us left behind. But they say that the children that have these terminal illnesses are so at peace and in such a state of grace that it's just energizing to be around them. That their
her name is Grace, too. Can you imagine that? Her name is Grace. I almost put something.
Wow.
She is forever under grace with God. I really wanted to put that, but I have to, because under grace is so important to me, and I probably will put something there for her. But yeah, no, you're right. You're right. This is just a part of our journey. But it's those you leave behind that miss you and long for you. I figure my husband's probably teaching school because that's what he was. He was so good at it.
Right.
And
I'm
having dinner at his mother's
on
Sundays like usual.
Roasted
chicken. I mean, you can almost smell her food, you know. And sometimes I'll tease him and say, well, yeah, I know where you are right now about at this time now. You're probably having dinner with your mother and your father, you know. But I think if you can believe that there is another level for you, another part of your journey, it makes this one more understandable. And it, I don't know, sometimes I surprise myself in what I say. If I could just keep talking to myself about it, telling myself, of course I can call Maya and she'll remind me of all these little things. But yeah, it's all divine. The whole thing is divine. Might not be a rhyme or a reason for it, but it's divine.
And what I'm going to leave everyone with is this, is that, you know, believe if it happened, the only person that needs to validate it is you, yourself, that you believe that it happened. And also, if something comes over you and you feel compelled to either attend something or avoid something, in whichever way, if that is a strong gut feeling, even if you can't find a logical or rational explanation, I would encourage everyone to follow their gut instinct. Now,
like I
I'm not
that
talking
day, not
about
going to Charleston. Exactly.
Right. Because chances are, even if you don't get the answer, even if you don't read about a terrible bus accident or plane or freeway or highway, I mean, just because you don't know what you avoided doesn't mean that you didn't avoid something. So I know with that, I want to wish everyone divine intervention when it's needed, and that it exists when we believe. It's all around us. It's in our lives. It's within our heart, our soul. It's a part of everything we do. All we have to do is believe in it, accept it, and try to be conscious of it when we feel that it occurs in our life. And with that, I'll say good night, and thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks to Candy for all the work that she does and everyone else that's so important to running things.
Exactly. And we love you very, very much, and just do everything under grace. And next week we'll be back at 8 o'clock with another great topic, and I don't really know what Maya Moon is going to come up with, but I'll probably get it tomorrow, and I'll post it, and then we'll be off and running again. And just have a good week, like she said. Look at things a little bit differently, and talk to whoever you believe in, wherever they are. It doesn't matter if it's God or whatever. Just speak out loud. I do it every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day, probably. Thinks, oh, geez, Natalie's back again. But, hey, that's what I do. And I thank Candy. Candy does an awful lot for Stars. She really does. She does Facebook and Twitter, and I do Twitter and all that kind of good stuff. And sometimes she calls me Mom. She thinks of me as her mom. She's listening right now. And really, that's a compliment. She said, I look up to you. Isn't that a great thing to say to me? And I get so many wonderful things, and I wish sometimes people could be in my shoes with all the people that I have surrounding me from all the different countries now, all the words, all the sweet, kind words that I get from them, you would not believe. And so everybody have a good week. And thank you, Candy. I love you. Thank you, Maya Moon. And with that, I'm going to say good night, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.